Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Livonia, Michigan, and she earned a Bachelor of Musical Arts, Violin Performance, Vocal and Communication from the University of Michigan. In 1993, she was Miss Michigan, and since 1999, she's been the co-leader, vocalist, violinist, and MC for the Jerry Ross Band. Since 2009, she's also been the music coordinator for St. John Chapel in Plymouth, Michigan. Her name, Stacy Mason, and we're honored to have her as a guest. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Stacy Mason, who in 1993 was Miss Michigan. Stacy, welcome and honored to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. I'm really honored to be here as well.
Can we start talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, certainly. As you said, I grew up in Livonia, Michigan. I grew up in a small house with three other siblings and my mom and dad. And I had, there was a lot of love in this house. And I'm always very grateful when I think back to all the love that was in the house. My parents were always very, very supportive of all four of their children. My dad worked very, very hard, and I would say he truly instilled in me a very, very strong work ethic. My mom stayed home with the kids, and she really taught me the meaning of devotion to family and loyalty. And there was nothing that my mom wouldn't do for us, include staying home and raising us while my dad was working. So I am truly grateful to both my mom and dad and my three older siblings as we were growing up. I really was the baby. I do have to say that.
Your dad was one of six people in a potato cellar in Poland for 2 years.
That's true. My dad is a Holocaust survivor, considered one of only 10,000 miracle children who survived the war and made it to this country. He was taken out of the city in a soup kettle. His family knew that bad times were upon them and knew that they had to do something to get their son out. And fortunately, they had this plan in place. And when the time came, my father was taken out of Krakow, out of the city, and taken to the country where he was hidden with his cousins and his aunt and uncle for 2 years. And they lived, survived in a 6x6 potato cellar on a farm. And truly, you can understand why these children were called miracle children. And the family who hid them did so completely selflessly. And had they been found out, they all would have been killed. It's almost unheard of, I'm told by historians, that a family of six would actually survive for that many years and make it out and then live full, long lives. It's almost unheard of.
Where did you get your love for music?
Oh, I think in the early days from my dad. My dad would listen to music extremely loudly in the house, I think much to my mother's chagrin. And he just had a love of music. He was not a musician. He didn't play an instrument. He probably could sing, but I don't know if I've ever heard him sing. But he really always had a love of music, and he would just play the music so loudly, and I just remember loving it so much. And we had a small organ in our living room, in our living area in the house growing up. And I would just sit at that organ and I would play. I'd make up songs. I would sing. I just always felt drawn to music. And interestingly enough, that organ is in my basement now, and my little great nieces actually enjoy playing on it.
How and why was it you took up the violin?
My neighbor next door played the violin, and I remember thinking, that's so cool. I love the way it sounds. It sounds so beautiful. To me, it sounded very much like the singing voice. And people will say that the violin, that a stringed instrument, is really the closest to a human voice. And I just always felt a magical feeling when I heard the violin. A lot of the music my dad listened to was very heavily orchestrated, so I was used to hearing that sound. But then when I actually heard my neighbor playing this violin, and I said, oh, that's so beautiful. So in fifth grade, I was in the Livonia Public Schools, and in fifth grade, we were given the option of what would we like to play. They asked us, what would we like to play? And we had to take a test. And people who scored a certain score on the test could choose violin or flute. I guess those were the most popular. And there just was never any question for me that I wanted to play the violin.
And here is Stacy Mason performing a little bit of Manja de Carnaval. Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Stacy Mason. If you want to learn more, Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, Mason.com. Miss Mason, how do you explain the magic of music, it being the universal language?
Wow. That could be a two-hour show, Jack. Music has a way of transforming the way people feel. It can make you feel sad. It can make you feel happy. It can make you feel excited. There's something about music that evokes feelings in people. How do you even explain that? Listening to music, listening to the different instrumentations can give you those feelings. It might bring back a memory. People say that when they hear a certain thing, it reminds them of their childhood, or it reminds them of being on a wonderful vacation. It might remind them of a loved one passing. So I think that when you hear music, it can transform you. It can bring you to other places and other times in your life. And I don't know if there's really a way to truly explain that. It is magical.
Another side of your life growing up was you entered a lot of local beauty pageants. Many times you were the first runner-up. Why did you keep trying?
Well, my dad has a saying that I've worked really hard to be as lucky as I am. And I kept trying because I really knew that I could do it. And I knew that if I worked hard and persevered, that eventually I would get to where I wanted to go, which was Miss America. And it was comical at points because I would be competing and they would announce the first runner up. And there was a point where I just would walk forward before they'd even say my name. But one fateful day, they actually didn't say my name as first runner up. And I really thought, oh, my goodness, I think I just won. And I had won. The first pageant I won was Miss Redford Township. That was the one I won first. Then I went to Miss Michigan. I competed at Miss Michigan, was second runner-up, came back. Then I went to Miss Great Lakes. And Miss Great Lakes is the one that I actually won. And I went to Miss Michigan as Miss Great Lakes. And Miss Great Lakes was considered an open pageant, so anyone in the state could compete in that pageant. So my husband, Kevin, who was my boyfriend at the time, of course, really did encourage me to try again. He said, you got to go back to Miss Michigan. You've got to do this. And I did. And I won. And at that time, I had already been working. I had an administrative job. I had graduated from the University of Michigan, and I felt like I needed to get a job. I was still living with my parents. I wanted to give back to them because they took care of my education. They always made sure I had violin lessons, voice lessons. I was at my orchestra rehearsals. I was everywhere I needed to be, and I felt like I really wanted to give back, so I had taken a job. When I decided and finally won another local to go to Miss Michigan, I packed up all my things on my desk. I said, I'm going to Miss Michigan. I'm going to win Miss Michigan. I will not be back. And that was that. I wasn't back.
All right, let's go back 26 years. You win Miss Michigan, 1993. Then you go to Atlantic City for the Miss America pageant with Kathy Lee and Regis.
Yes.
Talk about that experience.
It truly was the experience of a lifetime. And although it happened to me when I was so young, I think it will always be one of the most remarkable experiences I had. As a little girl growing up, I had watched the Miss America pageant, and I just always looked up to those women. They were so talented. They were so together. They also talked about how they weren't necessarily the most beautiful or the most talented, but that they worked so hard to get there. And I think as a little child, I thought, well, if I work hard, maybe I can get there. And there I was. It was an amazing experience. I am certainly a performer. I feel very comfortable on stage, performing in front of 25,000 people in the Atlantic City auditorium there. That was an amazing experience. And then knowing that I was on television live on the final Saturday night, that was just amazing. And also getting to know the other contestants and just being amazed at what all of these young ladies had already accomplished in their lives.
What was the highlight of your reign as Miss Michigan in 1993?
Well, of course, going to Miss America. I would be remiss if I didn't say going to Miss America, competing at Miss America, being on the stage, hearing them say, saying, there she is, Miss America, and walking down the stage. That certainly was a highlight. But honestly, meeting all of the people I met at all of my appearances, having these little children looking up to me the way I looked up to all of the contestants in the past, talking to them about what was my platform at the time, which was Girl Scouting, talking to children and seeing the look on their face when I would take the crown off of my head and put it on their heads and say, this can be you, or really anything you want to do can be you. No matter what. I would have to say that was the highlight of my year. All of those small little moments if you put all of that together, that had to be the highlight of my year.
And here's a highlight. Here's Stacey Mason singing Ave Maria. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Stacey Mason. And since 1999, she's been the co-leader, vocalist, violinist, MC for the Jerry Ross Band. You say, I'm a performer, and you are. Stacey, what's the difference between being a singer versus a performer?
Well, I think singing is a physical act. It is something that can happen just by producing sound. Performing is thinking about the words that you're singing, or sometimes in my case, playing in the violin. Thinking about each note, how you can evoke a feeling, a memory, as I said before, something for the people who are listening. So to me, being a singer is a wonderful thing. It's a lot of fun. It's something that is a physical act. But being a performer is taking it to another level and really trying to bring a feeling and bring an emotion to the people for whom you're performing.
The King, Frank Sinatra, was a performer, connected with everybody.
Yes.
Why was he the king?
Well, Frank Sinatra definitely had a way of making the audience know that he meant every word that he sang. He also had a calmness about him when he performed, and he had an ease about him with his voice. He knew the range that was best for him, and that's what he sang. That's why there are so many people who try to imitate him, never quite get it, but who try to imitate him because he had such a specific style. He knew what he did well, and he stayed with that. I think that's what really set him apart. That style that he had that was so him, and the way that he could really make you feel like he meant every word that he was singing.
Celine Dion.
Oh. Well, she is absolutely one of my favorites, and I am going to be seeing her when she performs here live in Detroit in November, the week of my birthday. So I've got a group of friends. We're going out there for her big Courage tour. I was very fortunate to hear her when I was in Las Vegas. I saw her when she was at Caesars. She is another person who really makes you believe that she feels and believes every word that she is singing. Her voice is spectacular, and I know that she has a lot of idiosyncrasies and things that she does to keep her voice in shape, and that takes a lot of discipline. And as a vocalist, I know how much discipline that takes to really keep your voice in great form, in health, not necessarily being able to do all of the things that you would want to do, refraining from some activities so that you know when you hit the stage, your voice is going to be right on. And I really respect Celine Dion for that. I think that she has given us so many amazing songs and so many amazing feelings from her music. She is, to me, right up there with Barbra Streisand. She is one of those voices, certainly a gift, but certainly something that she has developed. And what a gift for all of us who've heard her.
Speaking of a gift, when you hear somebody, for the last 25 years, you've gone to Ypsilanti. And you've performed for our veterans in Ypsilanti.
Absolutely.
What have those veterans taught you?
There wouldn't even be enough time to scratch the surface. I remember one time meeting with a very young veteran. He had just been brought to the hospital in Ann Arbor, and he lost his sight. His car was blown up as he was driving through to help people in the Middle East. And luckily he survived, but he survived without his eyesight. And I was singing for him, and he thanked me very much for singing for him. And he said, "May I have a hug?" Of course, I went over to his bed and I hugged him. And he reached around my back and he said, "Oh, you have long hair. I love long hair." And that moment has stuck with me for all of these years, I think, because I realized truly what he had given up for our freedoms and for the freedoms of others. That he had lost his sight, his life will never be the same. He did not complain one time to me when I probably spent a good half hour, 45 minutes with him. Never, why me? Why did this happen? He was grateful that he could help the people he helped, and he was so grateful for the simplicity of what I was able to give him, a moment of happiness, a hug, a song. Those veterans have taught me to be grateful for every day that I'm alive, to be grateful for the freedom, to be grateful for the fact that my father actually survived and was liberated by the troops so that he could come to this country and his family could come to this country. I could go on and on about my veterans. I will always have a very, very special place in my heart for them, and I will continue to give back as much as I possibly can. I feel so fortunate to have been a part of such a great, great group of people, men and women.
And here, for our veterans and for all of us, is Stacy Mason performing Covenant Hymn. So that's about a minute, Mark, okay? So now we'll come back. Ready?
I never realized I use my hand so much.
So, since 1999, Stacy, you've had another aspect of your life with the Jerry Ross Band. Tell us about the Jerry Ross Band.
Well, yes, I have been a member of the Jerry Ross Band for 20 years. I sing, play the violin, I MC, I meet with all of the couples we work for. We do, I would say, mostly weddings, but we do a lot of corporate work as well. I organize parties. The band is an amazing group of professionals who have become my friends, my dear friends. We spend a lot of time together. It's a 12-piece group with keyboard, bass, guitars, drums, a horn section, and four vocalists up front. We've done so many amazing parties, from beautiful, beautiful weddings at the Detroit Opera House, at every country club in the Metro Detroit, to actually corporate work. We went down to Orlando one time. We were brought down there by Avfuel Corporation to do a big corporate party. We've traveled around the country together. It's been a huge part of my life, and it's really afforded me, I would say, the life that I have.
And here's New Classica performing Rhapsody Suite Electronica. That was Stacy Mason, New Classica, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Stacy Mason and one of her newest initiatives, not that she needs more initiatives, as Kevin would no doubt say, is New Classica.
Yes, New Classica is an electropop violin and DJ band, and I've actually been with New Classica for about 6 years. And as you can see, when I go for something, I just do it and I stick with it. But New Classica is a really unique group. We play actually many different genres of music, from Broadway music to, we have a beautiful Christmas program that will actually be performing in Naples and Fort Lauderdale this year. We play true electronica music. Jordan Allen Broder does all of the arranging, and he actually does some composing as well. As I think that they are going to hear in the suite, Rhapsody Suite Electronica, that is one of our original compositions. But the group is awesome. It's so fun to be a part of it. Really beautifully trained classical violinists playing different genres of music. It's exciting for me because we're able to bring our music to audiences who might not otherwise listen to violin music. It's something a little bit different. We performed at the Little Caesars Arena, opening for the Jacksons and the Temptations. And we were also on season 11 of America's Got Talent. So we've done a lot of really great things together, and I'm just so proud to be a part of such an amazing group.
Since 2009, you've also worked for St. John's Golf and Conference Center. Please tell us you're not a golf coach as well, but what's your role at St. John's?
Well, I am the music coordinator at the chapel. We do about 180 weddings a year. Now, I don't sing and play at all of those, maybe 70% of them, but I coordinate the music for all of the weddings that happen in the chapel, whether it's the keyboard player and organist, the cantors who are singing. If people want extra musicians, I will hire them for these particular weddings. And then we also have a mass, 7 o'clock mass every Sunday, and I am responsible for bringing in the priests as well as the musicians for that. But that has been just an amazing experience for me. I'm able to celebrate weddings. I'm able to be with people and help them plan one of the most important events of their lives. And I really feel so honored to be a part of that. I can't believe it's actually been 10 years already.
You and your husband, Kevin, oftentimes have these couples to your home for a dinner.
Well, we do have them to our home. Well, I think that it's really important to have a one-on-one meeting with the couples to explain to them what's happening, how important the wedding is, absolutely important, but how important what they're preparing for is. They're preparing for their marriage, for their life together, and that really is the most important part, and it's been a lot of fun.
So 180 marriages a year you help plan. The couples that make it, that become a partnership, a team, Stacy, what do those couples have in common?
That is so interesting that you ask, because there is something very, very specific I think that they all have in common. When I meet with them and they are listening to one another, when they're talking and I can see that the partner is truly listening, and when I hear compromise on the part of the bride or the groom, when I hear a sense of humor. So when they truly listen to each other, when they're compromising for each other already so early in their relationship, and when they have a sense of humor with one another, those are the couples who make it. And I think that's why I've been married for 25 years. And I know my husband puts up with a lot of craziness in our house, with my schedule being the way it is, with my being gone evenings and weekends. But we really do try to listen to one another and really have respect for one another.
If you want to learn more, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, Mason.com. You've also taught violin for 20 years.
Yes.
What's it like when you now hear one of your students perform professionally?
Oh, well, it's usually a teary-eyed moment. I have one student in particular who I taught from the time she was probably about 10 until she graduated from high school. She went off to college. She actually received a full ride to Wayne State. And she is now in Los Angeles. And every once in a while, I turn on the TV, and there she is performing on a show. I see her backing up huge stars. The feeling I have when I see her performing, or another one of my students who is teaching in the Grand Rapids public school system, when I see her working with her orchestra, the feeling that I get is indescribable. I don't know if it's a sense of pride or if it's a sense of accomplishment, if it's just pure happiness for that person, knowing that they're doing what they love to do, which is what I hope my message is to everyone: do what you love to do and you'll be successful. It's indescribable. It's such a great feeling to see my students succeeding.
You have a very strong faith.
Yes, I do.
Where did that come from?
Well, honestly, I think being the daughter of a Holocaust survivor, how can you not have faith that there is someone greater who has been guiding your life and the lives of your family? I pray a lot. I pray in many, many different ways. And when I need help, when I know that there is something that needs to be done, and I pray, it gets done. It's hard to say exactly where that has come from for me, But it's so strong, and I can't imagine my life without that faith and that hope that I live with every day.
The six greatest words any of us can ever hear are, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Yes.
That's all we got to hear someday.
Yes.
That means we're in utopia, heaven, with our Heavenly Father forever. There's got to be music up there. What kind of music will be in heaven?
Well, don't you think that it would be different music for everyone? And I think that's what makes it heaven. You might want to hear Frank Sinatra. I might want to hear Itzhak Perlman playing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. And someone else might want to hear, who knows what, funk or rock or pop or another classical piece, or Jesse Norman singing an amazing operatic aria. I think the music in heaven is what each individual person wants it to be, and that really is what makes it heaven.
When you get to heaven, if our Heavenly Father says, "Stacy, sing us a song," what song are you going to sing?
Well, it probably wouldn't actually take that much thought. It would be Ave Maria. Schubert Ave Maria, Bach Gounod Ave Maria. Ave Maria has been a very special piece for me. And specifically, actually, I do love the Bach Gounod that's based on the Prelude in C by Bach. The meaning of the words of the Ave Maria, the beauty of the music, truly transforms me, and I hope transforms the listener.
Stacy Mason, thanks for all the entertainment and joy you've given to tens of thousands of people throughout America.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.